So the Gemara yesterday left off with a question regarding the conversation between Reish Lakish and Rebbe Elazar. In that conversation, he brought a proof, Rebbe Elazar brought a proof to Reish Lakish that there is such a concept where a korban can be kasher ve'enu miratzeh. And that's a korban that is brought after the death of the individual. It's obviously not miratzeh because the individual is no longer around, and it's still kasher because they bring the korban. So I have an example of such a case, and that was by Yoledet, when she brings her Olata. She brought her Chatata while she was still alive, then her Olata is brought by her Yoshim, even after she has passed away. The Gemara says, or the question that was asked over here is that really true? I mean, is it really true that it's not Miratzeh? How do you know that it's not Miratzeh? So if Adab Rav Matna had asked at that point in time, what does an Olah do for you? An Olah takes care of a mitzvah d'aseh, a violation of a mitzvah d'aseh, a violation of a lav nitak d'aseh. So why can't it, just like it takes care of the mitzvot aseh of the Yoledet, even though it's being brought as a chiyuv, as an obligation because she was Yoledet, nevertheless it still helps her in terms of being mechaper for things that an aseh would cover. So why don't we say the same thing by the Yoshim? The Yoshim should also be covered by the Olah that they bring. And there would be kasher umiratzeh. Because now there is ritzui. Ritzui couldn't have been for the person who's passed away, but now it's the Yoshim themselves are getting benefit from it. They're getting kapara. That means that it's kasher and there is miratzeh. So the Gemara says, well, the underlying assumption in that question is that the Yoshim actually own the karban. That they're koneh the karban. And we challenge that from Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says that when it comes to a mincha that is left by a parent to Yoshim, the mincha can only brought, or a mincha has a requirement that it only is brought by a nefesh. It has to be brought by a single individual, cannot be brought by shutafut, it cannot be brought in partners. So if a father left to his two children a mincha, Rabbi Yochanan says over there that they can bring the korban on behalf of their father. Well, if they can bring the korban on behalf of their father, that means that they don't really own the mincha. Because if they really own the mincha, if they really possess the mincha, then it would be shutafim. There would be two. You'd have the two children who are now partners in the mincha, and that would preclude them from bringing the mincha. It must be that they don't have full ownership over the mincha. If they don't have balut over the mincha, then how could it provide kapara? How could the olah that they're bringing on behalf of their mother when she's a yoledet, how could that provide kapara? So the Gemara then challenged it from another statement of Rabbi Yochanan. Truthfully, the Gemara could have asked Kasha Adodi, could ask on Rabbi Yochanan himself, because Rabbi Yochanan says about Hamara, about Tmura. When it comes to Tmura, only an individual can do Meimir, but not partners. Partners cannot be Meimir a Korban. And yet we see when it's inherited by the Yorshim, that's why they can't be Meimir. The Shutafim, or the children, can't be Meimir the Korban of their father. Their father left the Korban, they're going to bring it now. They are partners in the Korban. They're partners in the Korban. Shutafim in a Korban cannot be Meimir. They can't do Tmura. So then, only if they own it, if they have a Kinyan in it, would that be true? If they don't have a Kinyan in it, then they're still owned by their father, a single individual. There could be Tmura in the animal. So here you see they are koneh. The Gemara over here answered that it's a gzera takatuv. It's a gzera takatuv by Tmura, because Tmura says, im hamer yamir. Hamer yamir teaches us that even a yoresh can be do Tmura. And it's also only, the whole parsha is written in the singular. Since it's written in the singular, the gzera takatuv is only if a single individual is involved can you do Tmura. But if there are multiple individuals involved, you cannot. And since the pasuk is talking about hamer yamir, a case of yoresh, that teaches us if there are multiple yoshim, even if they're not koneh, they can't do tmura. It's a gzera takatuv by tmura. So at this point in time, the Gemara has concluded that the yoshim are not koneh. Anything that they bring on behalf of a parent, therefore we can explain why when it comes to mincha, they can bring mincha on behalf of their father because it's only single ownership. The question of Rav Adab Ramanta will not be a question because by the Yoledet, when they bring the korban, it's not their korban, so there can't be miratzeh on them. And the last thing, the question by Tmura, Tmura is an exception to that case. Even though they don't own it, there's a gzera takatuv. If there are multiple yorshim, it doesn't work because the pasuk is written in the singular for yoresh. So now that's the question. We start four lines down on Vav now. Matrifla Rav Yaakov Mimnar Pakud. El Miato Gabi Maser. So if you think that the reason that by Tmura is a gzera takatuv, that only a yoresh, a single yoresh, can do tumura, but not multiple yorshim, even though technically they're not koneet, because it's written in a singular form. What about maser? Dichtiv im gaol igael. So over there, it says that if he redeems the animal, the rabot et ayoresh, that even the yoresh can be pudeh the maser. So Gemara says, Hachanami. So say the same thing here. It's written in the singular. So therefore, Echad Goel, Ve'en Shnayim Goelim. That the Maaser could only be redeemed if there was a single Yoresh. If there were multiple Yorshim, just like multiple Yorshim can't make an animal into Tmura, they so too, they can't do a Geula. They can't do a redemption of the Maaser. Why? Well, if you said the idea is that we have a Limud out of a Pasuk about a Yoresh, if that's written in the singular, that teaches me that it only applies to one Yoresh, not to multiple Yoshim. I have an identical limud by Maaser that I have by Tmura. So why isn't that true? So Maaser says, no. Shani Maaser, the Gabi Avon, Nami Ite Bishutufut. So wait a minute, you have to think about this. When it comes to Tmura, Tmura, the entire parsha is written in the singular, and therefore, even for their father, there's an issue. In terms of Hamer Yamir, the restriction against Echad Memir, Ve'in Shnayim Memirim, not only applies to the Yorshim. It's not just the din in the Yorshim, that's a din in their father as well. Their father was a Shutaf in an animal, then they also can't do Tmura on that animal. Tmura, the requirement that there be a single owner in order for there to be Tmura, supersedes this issue of Yoresh, right? It goes beyond anything to do with Yoresh. It's true of anything in Tmura. Over here, by Maaser, that is not true. By Maaserot, or the redemption of Maaser, if the father was a Shutaf, he could also redeem it. There's no restriction against Shutafim redeeming their Maaser. That's not an issue whatsoever. So therefore, when it comes to the Yoresh, we're also not going to say, what, all of a sudden the Yoresh has some sort of restriction that only one Yoresh, not multiple Yoreshim. Now you have to look at the Parsha Kula. By Tmura, the whole Parsha is written in the singular and it applies to everybody, not just to Yoreshim. Over here, you're trying to apply it just to the Yoresh based on the singular form. That we're not going to do. Amalei Rav Asi li Rav Ashi. So now, Rav Asi says to Rav Ashi, that is why, in the beginning of this Gemara, it's Matif lo Rav Asi. The Shita Mekubetz, it changes that to Rav Ashi, because over here, Rav Asi is speaking to Rav Ashi, where it seems like he's responding to the question that was raised by Rav Ashi. So here it says, Amalei Rav Asi li Rav Ashi, Umina. Let's learn from it. Iamart bishlamo kanyiluhu hainu dechad miha meimir. Iamart lo kanyiluhu hecha meimar. So wait a minute. Let's think about it the other way around. When we said before that echad meimir ve'en shnayim meimirin, so fine. You said to us, all right, even when we say en shnayim meimirin with the two yoshim, that's because they weren't konet, but there's a gzerat ha-katuf. But the gzerat ha-katuf has two sides to it. The gzerat ha-katuf has one side, which is that if there's a single yoresh, he can be meimir. If there are multiple yoreshim, they cannot be meimir. But what does that indicate? That the single yoresh, if there was a single yoresh, he could be meimir. What does that tell you about that yoresh? That tells you that he is kanyiluhu, that he is konet. How could you say otherwise? V'amar Rabbi Boam Rabbi Yochanan. Doesn't it said by Rabbi Boam Rabbi Yochanan, makdish, someone who is makdish, Musif Chomesh, Umitchaper Ose Tmura. Vatarei Mishalosh, Chaviro Tuvatana Shalo. So these are items that are laid out where someone does an action on behalf of their friend. For instance, someone's obligated to bring a korban, and his friend does him a favor, and he's makdish the korban on his behalf. So an individual, Reuven is chayav to bring a chatat, Reuven is chayav to bring an olah, Shimon does him a favor, and is makdish a chatat on his behalf, or is makdish an olah on his behalf. So now they have, each one of them has a different role in this animal. There's the makdish, the one who is made a kodesh, the one who made the animal available for the korban. And there's the mitkaper. The animal is going to provide kapara for another individual, not for the makdish. So because of that, they have different rights or different abilities in the animal. Number one is, a makdish mosif chomesh. That comes to redemption in kodesh. Any kodesh that is redeemed by the owner themselves, they have to add on an additional chomesh in the redemption. That's because the Baalim or Nogeya Badavar, right, something that's Chaviv Lam. Therefore, they add in an extra chomesh when it comes to any redemption. So here, the Makdish will be classified as the owner for the chomesh. Umit Chaper Oset Tmura. And the one who gets the Kapara is able to do Tmura. So what do you see here? You see here that the Kapara is the determinant of who makes the tmura, not the makdish, not the ownership. It's not ownership that does it, but rather the mitchaper that gets the benefit, and therefore he's the one who can do tmura. It's a similar case by truma. What happens if Reuven has a pile of tevel, Shimon comes along and says, here, I have truma for you, and he's mafrish truma from his own items on behalf of Reuven. So now Reuven doesn't have to be mafrish truma. His tevel is all fine now. He took off truma for his behalf. Then tovat anashelo, the one who's toreim, Shimon, who brought the truma, has the right to give that truma to whoever he wants. It's open, it's available to him, he can do whatever he wants with it, or if someone pays him money to give it to a specific kohen, he can accept that benefit. The tovat hanaah is from the one who separated out the truma. So now you have an issue, which is, we're back to stage one now. Even if you don't say that it's a full-fledged kinyan by the yorshim, nevertheless, what do you see here? What gives one the right to do tmura? One is given the right to do tmura if they are mitkaper. Well, now let's look at that. If you have a single individual who can be mimir the animal, what's that case? It's a case of a yoresh. A yoresh, a single yoresh can be mimir the animal. What does that tell you about the yoresh? That he is mitkaper, that he does get a kapara on that animal, because the two are connected. Tmura, the ability to do tmura and getting kapara are connected. So if that is the case, then you see that the Yorshim are mitkaper. If the Yorshim are mitkaper, then we go all the way back to the beginning, and this starts back to Rabbi Adam Ramadan's question, who says just because the Yoledet passed away, that there is no Ritzui over here? The Yorshim are inheriting the animal, and they can get the Ritzui. They'll be mitkaper in this animal. We just saw that there is kapara for the Yoresh, and he's the one who can do tmura. Or the fact that he can do tmura is evidence that he is mitkaper by the animal. If that's the case, what's the answer? Gemara's answer, which is a difficult answer, we'll do our best to explain it, but is mikiv'a lo mechapra, mikufya mechapra. I'll explain the words. Kiv'a means from the animal itself, from the fixed kapara, they don't get a benefit. Mikufya, the word kufya comes from floating, to float above. Mikufya kapara mechapra, they get kapara for something that floats above it. The Rabbeinu Chananel, in other places, says kufya kapara means the vidui. The vidui they do on the animal is what provides the kapara for the yorshim. So the answer of the Gemara here is that even though they're bringing the animal and it's providing them with kapara, the kapara is not really from the korban itself. The kapara is something that's floating around the korban. It's something that's external to the korban. Somehow we're able to separate between the kapara they're receiving from the actual korban itself, or from the animal itself. And because of that, they are not, it's not really a ritsui. It's not that the animal they're bringing, it's kasher umiratzeh, because it's not the animal itself that is miratzeh. The ritsui comes either because they're mikayim, the mitzvah to bring it on behalf of the individual who should have brought it originally, or like the Rabbeinu Chananel says, because of the vidui that they do on the animal, therefore they get the benefit of that vidui, not the animal itself. So the kapara that they are gaining over here, or the yoresh is gaining over here, is not a kapara like we know in the standard form. That means that it is a kapara that will be a full-fledged kapara of the animal, and therefore it's ritsui. No, it's a kapara that's external to the animal. Nevertheless, that kapara is sufficient to make the yoresh, number one, able to do tmura, which is what we said before, and number two, to gain some benefit from bringing up this animal, bringing up this korban, despite the fact that it's not called a ritsui. So that's the Gemara's final answer. In Ochanami, there is kapara here, but the kapara is not so integrated or sort of intertwined with the animal that it's called ritsui. That somehow the kapara is separated from the ritsui. Ibadu, kipru, alma shiba'u, o lo kipru. The Gemara wants to know now, the kodshim that are brought shalolishman, we know that they are karev, they're kasher ve'inum ratzeh, lo alu l'shem chova, and you have to bring another animal in place of it. Now, do they work, im kipru ala chet shu frashalav? Do they work for the chet that it was separated for? So the question, according to Rashi, is v'nafkamina shloi dag ben esirim bintayim. In Ochanami, you have to bring another korban. But in the interim, does this korban act as a protection? Does it protect them against the esirim? Does it take care of the chet in between?
What kind of question is it?
Right. So that's where Amar Rav Shisha b'Rav Yehudi mistavro to lo kipru. Makes sense that there is no kapara here. What do you need to bring the second korban for? If there is kapara by the first korban, then what's the necessity of the second korban? Elamai. So what do you want to say? Lo kipru. Right? You want to say they're not mechaper. Lamahu karev. So why are you bothering to bring this korban? Why do you have to bring the first korban? Truthfully, it's the question of Reish Lakish that we had in yesterday's daf. The question is, if enu meratzeh, lamahu karev? It's really the identical question. So Amar Rav Shisha Breid Rav Idi Hakika Kashla. This is what he meant. I Amar Bishlam Alo Kipru. If you say it makes sense, there's no kapara shelo lishmo mikolach lishmo kaate, which is basically what David you're saying is that the lo lishmo here draws its power from the fact that it was once mukdash lishmo. Since it's once mukdash lishmo, therefore now it could be brought, even though it's not lishmo anymore, since it's a derivative of lishmo, you bring it on the mizbeach. B'sheni lamu ba l'chaper. And then the second one comes to provide kapara. Ella, yamart kipru, if you say, or kiper, if the first one is michaper, sheni lamu ba, then what's the purpose of bringing the second one? It must be that the first one provides no kapara, because then I can make sense about why both korbanot are brought. The first one's brought because, like you said, it was mukdash, it was intended to be brought lishmo, it's a derivative of that original kedusha, and therefore it goes on the mizbeach. The second one comes because I need the kapara. But if you say the first one provides kapara, what's the whole purpose of the second one? Now truthfully, it's not so simple, it's not so simple to understand, because Rashi's question really was, or the way Rashi phrased the question is, Nachmina Shloi Dag Mina Yisurim Bentayim. That's the equivalent of an Hashem Talui. By an Hashem Talui, you bring an Hashem Talui, it provides protection, but then you still have to bring the Chatat in the end. Why don't I say that as well? That when I bring the original Korban, it gives me protection until I bring my second Korban. It doesn't provide me full-fledged, it's not Mechaper on the Avon, but it's a shield against Yisurim in the interim period. Whatever. So I can't, right. But that's what we have by Hashem Talui. That's exactly what Hashem Talui does. So I didn't see answers about this, although Tosfos seems to be raising the question, at least, in that manner, which is a tema. He says, Kama karbanot adamit nadev, umevi zechar zemiyad. Afal pishi kiper rishon shasol lishmo. Person many times brings multiple karbanot, one after the other, and we don't worry about the fact that the first one was mechaper. The Yishlamar de Parich Sheni Lama Chayav Lavi. Tosa says over here that no, why is he obligated to bring the second one? That's the question over here. Not why does he bring the second one? No, it's why is he obligated to bring the same one? And then Vim Tomar Mai Kamar Sheni Lama Uba Dilmak Ati the Chaper Machshavat Shlo Lishman. He says, wait a minute, okay, maybe the second korban comes to deal with the fact that he messed up the first korban. Enochanami, the first korban was mechaper on the chet it was brought for, but it was brought lishmo, which is a korban. You made a mistake in that korban. So the second korban is starting to be mechaper on the fact that you messed up on the first korban. You brought it shlo lishmo instead of lishmo. So there, Tosa says, I don't think we could do that because me yesh lamar the machshava tluya ba'oved. The korban lo mechaper la ba'alea. You're talking about two different people. The avoda is being done by the kohen. The lo lishma could be done by the kohen himself. The kapara is being brought to the balim who bring the other karban. When he brings the second karban, it has nothing to do with the fact that the oved, the person who messed it up, the kohen, messed up the karban by doing shelo lishmo. So that won't be, you're not connecting between the person who was in violation of the machshava and the person who needs the kapara. The two are different people. So therefore they won't necessarily work over here. But you see, Tosfos is being bothered that maybe there is. Why can't you say that they're different kaparot? There is something that is a dynamic between the two that one provides a different kapara than the other one. So I still leave that up as a question, just why the first one can't act like an Hashem Talui, and the second one be the kapara for the full-fledged chet.
He doesn't answer the question.
He says it makes sense. This is great. Bishlama, that it makes sense that it's not mechaper. He says, Bishlama, it's mechaper, otherwise I don't understand why you bring the second one. So he does answer the question. He doesn't answer my question, but he answers the question. Right. When it comes to a korban that is providing kapara, now look, by a chatat, it's pretty straightforward. By a chatat, it's mechaper until the moment that you mafrish the chatat, because the chatat is dependent on hodah, knowing, knowledge. As soon as you know that you have to bring the chatat, then any violation of the aveira after that point in time is a new shikha and a new yidiyah. You have to bring a separate korban for it. So it's clear from the moment of hafrasha, the chatat stops the process of kapara at that point in time. What's not clear is in things like, for instance, an olah. You bring an olah. Up until what point is the olah cover all the mitzvot that say that you violated? is it, by the way, I say, Delachar Hafresha Mechapar, even after Hafresha, up until the time that it's, Gemara here is going to assume until Shechita, or Lo Mechapar, or is it until the Hafresha, the Bafish, you Makdish, the animal, that's it, that's the cutoff in terms of what it covers. Mi Amrina and Mi Didava Chatat. Is it just like a Chatat? Ma Chatat, the Kodim Hafresha, in Delachar Hafresha, Lo, by a Chatat, we just said before that Hafresha is the determining point. You only Mafresh Chatat once you know you've done something wrong. If you know you've done something wrong, that's the end of your ability for this chatat to cover any shogeg that came beforehand. So have the same principle that the olah protects you on any assay before that you were magdish the animal, but anything afterwards is no good. Or the other possibility, so Dilma lo dami lechatat. It's nothing like a chatat. The chatat or kol chet vechet by the yituye chad chatat. By a chatat, every single chet requires a different chatat. There's no catch-all chatat. If you violated dam and you violated chelev, you have to bring two separate chataot for that. By an olah, that's not the case. V'ha'acha kevan de'iika kama asei gabei mechapra. Even if he has multiple asays that he's violated, one olah covers everything in that assay. Now why is that true? Rashi explains over here, because there is no obligation to bring a korban when you violate the mitzvah assay. When you violate a mitzvah assay, the Torah does not require of you to bring any korban. That means, lo chayiv ha-katuv la-havio, shechayav ha-kol asay v'asay el-doron ba'almahu. When you bring an olah, it's a present, it's a gift. You were not obligated to bring the korban. But nevertheless, it says in the parsha of the olah, v'nir tzalo. What does it mean, Nirtzalo? What type of Ritzui is there here if it's a Doron? So, Melameid, Shinitratzela, Kodesh Baruch Hu. When you bring an Olah, that brings you Ritzui before a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Alma Kulam Nitchapru. That shows you that it covers, it gets rid of, it cleans the slate. So, because it's a Doron, because it's a gift, and it says, Renirtzalo, the underlying assumption is that it makes everything good. The fact that now you are appeased to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Renirtzalo, what's the Ritzui? Ritzui must be it cleans the slate. And how do you clean the slate? Get rid of all the mitzvot to say. So, it's a capture-all korban. So maybe that's the difference between the olah and the chatat. By chatat, it only covers one by one. Hafresha is the cutoff. By olah, where it captures everything, maybe it can go all the way until shechita.
But it's the yidiyah, it's not the hafresha.
Correct, but the hafresha is yidiyah by definition. That's the answer.
Yidiyah, it's the yidiyah that counts.
Ain't no, but the Gemara is saying that you can never have something past hafresha. Hafresha by definition is yidiyah. So you can never have it be hafresha without yidiyah. That's what all the Gemara is saying. That's the latest point it could be for yidiyah for him. Because if he's mafreshit, he has yidiyah by definition. So let us say that it also cover the assays that come afterwards. Gemara says, Tashma. V'samach v'nirtze. So wait, what is this? V'chis micha mechaperet. Wait a minute, why is it v'samach v'nirtze? Right? Why, how could it be that you do smicha and then you get kapara? Alo ein kapara l'bedam. The kapara that comes from a korban comes with a zrikat adam shenimer ki adam bu anefesh b'chaper. That when only the dam is the kapara. Elamatam lomar v'samach v'nirtze l'chaper. Where's that? If a person does smicha like a shariyei mitzvah, a shariyei mitzvah means he tosses it aside, it's not the ikar part of the mitzvah, he forgets about it, he doesn't do it, then the korban is mechaper and einu mechaper. What does that mean? What does that mean that the korban is mechaper and einu mechaper? So over here, he was supposed to do smicha, he didn't do smicha. He did zrikat adam, which is the ikar kapara. So he should get his ikar kapara, but it seems like he's missing something for not doing the smicha. What does that mean? My love. So this is the first explanation. They keep bear assay kodem hafresha. It took care of all the assays before hafresha. Lo kiper assay dismicha davele assay lachar hafresha. He violated an assay. What was the assay that he violated after hafresha here? He didn't do smicha on this animal. He didn't do smicha, it's a violation of the assay. So what does it mean, kiper v'lo kiper? Kiper on the assays that came before the hafresha. Lo kiper, he has to bring a separate olah, a separate korban, for the assay of smicha that he left out after this point, after that time, after the hafresha, the one on this animal that he did. Gemara says, Amarova, wait a minute. Assay the smicha kamart? Shiny hatam. Everybody will agree that the smicha here cannot be covered by this korban. Why? To chol kama delo shachit. As long as the animal is not shechted, ba'mod v'samoch koi, you have the ability to do smicha. I mean that the violation of the assay is to do smicha. The only time you mervatel the assay is when shechted it. Until you shech the animal, you have the ability to do smicha. As soon as you shech the animal, then you have made it impossible to do the assay anymore. So when does the violation of the assay happen? When you shech the animal. Emat gavi assay lachar shechita. When is the violation? The bitul assay only happens after shechita. Lachar shechita, lo komi baylon. Nobody asks that an animal should be mechaper after shechita. The cutoff is shechita. Nobody says, oh, after I shech the animal, I should still be mechaper. Now, the question is, why not? So the Gemara later on, at the end of today's daf, Rabbi Yirmiyahu will ask, wait, if kaparaz brought by Zrikat Adam, why not say up to Zrikat Adam that it could be mechaper? And that Rabbi Yirmiyahu will ask at the end of today's daf. But at this point in the Gemara's assumption is that Shechita is the cutoff point. Once you hit Shechita, nobody would think, right, there, right. There's a, that's the end of the
philosophy of the whole thing.
Right, according to the Ramban, it makes a lot of sense. Once you've shechted the animal, how could you get kapara after that point in time? It makes a lot of sense that would be the cutoff. At this point, Rava says, look, if shechita is the cutoff, the assay of smicha is not going to be covered by this korban. It's just too late. By the time you revatel the assay, the korban's already shechted. You're way too late in the process. So nobody would think that. So Mar says, Amalei Rav Huna bar Yehuda the Rava, Ema, let's make another suggestion what it means, kiper, lo kiper. Ema, kiper gavro. Right, that the gavro is protected over here, as Rashi says, Zinitzo mina isurim, lo kiper kabishmaya, but he wasn't yotze yidei shemayim. Rashi says that means lanachad ruach lekono, dlo avad mitzvah mina mufchar. And ochanami, the korban is fine. The gavro was michaper by this korban, but there was some lacking in this korban. You didn't do it the way you were supposed to do it. So that bidyeved situation is what creates the lo kiper aspect over here. Milotnan, don't we have a similar case? By a mitzora. It says, v'neotar b'shem and asher al-kafa kohen. So when they have the shemen that is left in the palm of the kohen, what does he do with this? V'chiper alav ha-kohen lifnei Hashem. The kohen brings it and puts it on the head of the individual, the mitzora. So when you have the shemen, the low shemen that the mitzora brings, that shemen is put on his behol note, his thumbs and his big toes. They put the shemen. Ma'notar, whatever's left over in the end of the kohen gets put on the head of the mitzora. So that leftover that's put on the head of the mitzora, that im natan kiper, im lo natan lo kiper divi Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says it's ma'akev. Akiva says, if you put the oil on top, you're mechaper. If you didn't put the oil on top, it's ma'akev. B'yochanan ben Uri omer, shayei mitzvah hein. It's a leftover mitzvah. It's an extra piece of the mitzvah. Ben nitan, ben shlo nitan, kiper. Whether he put on his head or not, he's kiper. Uman even av kilo kiper. We still say it's as if he wasn't mechaper. So you have the same idea here. Kiper, velo kiper. My kilo lo kiper. What does it mean as if he's not mechaper? Ilema, dimia, ba'ile litue karban achrino. If you're going to say what? He has to bring a totally new karban. Now he's got to bring an extra korban. But no, Amar, it's ben nitan, ben lo nitan kiper. You said that it was mechaper. So why would he have to bring another korban? Ella kiper gavra, lo kiper gavra kameshmaya. No, it's the same thing. It's my explanation, which is that the gavra is mitchaper. It works. He's now not mechusar kaparam. He is someone who did his karbanot. He did what he was supposed to do. And now he is tahor. The mitzvah is fine. Aval, lo kiper kameshmaya. He didn't do it the proper way. There was a chisaron in the kapara kameshmaya. Hachanami, our case over here. Kiper, gavra, lo kiper kameshmaya. That's how you explain kiper, lo kiper. Which obviously would make it irrelevant to our case over here. I mean, as a proof to whether it's the cutoff point is hafrasha or not, it's irrelevant. But if you give this explanation, that solves the problem what kiper and lo kiper is, but it doesn't make it a proof anymore. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. No, hotam nami kiper matan. No, how over there by the mitzora, I can explain it this way: kiper matan baonot, lo kiper matnot arosh. That the oil is used for multiple things. It's used for the thumbs and the big toes, and it's also placed on his head. So when it says kiper matan baonot, it means that the matan baonot are fine. That kapara worked. Lo kiper means the matnot arosh that was on his head. Now, according to Rashi, the conclusion of the bright over here, according to Rashi, is he has to bring another log. The mitzvah has to bring another log. According to Rabbi Akiva, he has to start from the beginning again. He has to put on the thumbs and the toes and on the head because lo kiper. Rabbi Akiva says it didn't work at all. According to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, it's kiper of lo kiper. The bahonot are done. The thumbs and the toes are done. When he brings a no log, all he has to do with it is put it on his head and then continue on from there. So that's, according to Rashi, the conclusion of the Gemara is that they both agree, both Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and Rabbi Akiva agree you have to bring the oil. The question is, where do you start from? According to Rabbi Akiva, you have to start over with the oil, because you messed up in the middle, you got to restart the whole oil process. And according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, no. The part of the Bahonot, the stuff you did already is good. The things that you didn't do is no good. You got to then restart so that you can just do from the Rosh and onward. Tosos takes issue with Rashi, and he says that from other Gemaras, it's clear that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri believes that you don't have to do this over again. That there's no reason to do this over again. So what does it mean? What was the Hava meaning of the Gemara? And what is the Maskon of the Gemara? So Tosos suggests that the Hava meaning of the Gemara, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, was that the Matar B'Honot would be affected by the fact that you didn't do the Rosh properly. And that's what it means, that ain ma'akvod klal, ve'in terech l'sotam, hikara sal kadatcha lo kiper kamei shmaya. What does it mean, lo kiper kamei shmaya? Afilu ma'asha sakvar. But we did already, go matnot bahonot, atzman. That even though you did the matnot bahonimo, they are not behen ritsui gamur. They weren't done properly because you're missing the matnot rosh. We would think that the fact that you didn't do the rosh impacts on the bahonot, saying that the whole process of the oil was subpar. Along comes the conclusion of the Gemara. No, separate. That's what Rabbi Yochanan says. The bahonot are done and they're a full-fledged kapara, kapara gavra and kapara kabe shmaya. The only part that you have a lacking in is the matnat rosh, the oil that goes on the rosh. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, you do not have to bring another log. You don't start over again. It says that the bahonot you did perfectly fine. The rosh, you were keeper gavra, but lo keeper kabe shmaya. So that's the difference between Rashi and Tosafot, explaining this Gemara. But either way, now, even until this conclusion over here, keeper and lo keeper still doesn't do anything for us in terms of explaining when the cutoff is for kapara. So Gemara says, Tashma. Let's learn it from here. Bishimon Omer, Kivsi Aseret, Lamahim Ba'in. What do they come for? So Kivsi Aseret, the Gemara says, Kivsi Aseret, we're talking about the Karbanot that come on Shavuot. Karbanot come on Shavuot, the Gemara thinks now, Kivsi Aseret, Shlamim Ninhu. The Karbanot that are brought along with the Shtei Lechem, they are Shlamim. Why do I have to give an explanation why I'm bringing Shlamim? The Torah says, bring Shlamim. Why do I need an explanation of what they're doing here? So the Gemara says, Ela Si'irei Atzeret Lahamahein Ba'in. The question is about the Si'irin on Shavuot, and why is that? Because there are carbonate musaf that are brought on Shavuot. What is the carbon musaf that you bring on Shavuot? Shnei parim, ayol echad, shiva kvasim for olot, and asir echad lechatat. Every musaf has with it, every musaf in the carbon musafim in Parshat Pinchas come with a karban chatat. They have a seir lechatat. In Parshat Emor, there's also a series of carbonot that are brought alongside the shtei alechem. One of those items is the Kivsei Atzeret that we just spoke about, the Shlamim. In addition, there are a bunch of Olot, and then there's also a Seir Lechatat that is brought. That means on Shavuot, you bring two Seirim Lechatat. One Seir Lechatat that comes with the Shtei Alechem, and one Seir Lechatat that comes with the Mustafin of Shavuot. So why do I need two Seirei Chatat? If you remember from the Gemara in Shavuot told us, what do the Karbanot am Yom Tov mechaper on? What are the Seirei Musafim, the Seirim of Yom Tov are mechaper on Tumat Mikdash Ugdashav? So now, if the Seir Lechatat is providing the same kapara, you have two Seirei Lechatat that are providing the exact same kapara. Rabbi Shimon wants to know, why am I bringing both of them? Why do I need two? How could it be that I'm bringing two? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Al Tumat Mikdash Ugdashav, they're coming to take care of Tumat Mikdash Dav, Nizrak Medamosha Rishon, Sheni Lama Karev. If the first one's Dam was already Nizak, why did I bring the second one? Al Tumah Shira Ben Zelazeh, on the Tumah that happened between the two Karbanot. There might be a violation of Tumat Mikdash Ugdashav between the two Karbanay Musaf. Emor Me'ata, Ru'in Haya Yisrael Lakriv Karbanotayim B'chol Eit U'b'chol Sha'ah. That truthfully, Israel should have brought their, B'nai Israel should have to bring Karbanot at all moments, at all times, in order to be mechaper on themselves. So Shechiseich HaKatuv. The Torah was Chiseich had Rachmanos on them, didn't want them to have to expend their money at all moments. So Chasal Monam Shel Yisrael. The Torah had mercy on the monetary means of Klal Yisrael, and therefore we don't bring a Karban at every second. But in El Chanami, the fact that you see here, that you have two Karbanei Musaf, or really it's a Karbanei Musaf, and one that goes with the Shtei Alechem, these two Seirei Chatat, that are brought almost simultaneously, and what do we say the reason is? Because maybe somebody sinned in between. That means at any moment someone could sin. At any moment someone's skin, we should be continuously bringing in Karbanot. So the Torah says, no, we don't have to do that. Va'acha, this is a case. Da'asei l'achara fasha. Tanya Ben Arah say after Hafrashah, why? What is the violation of Tumat Nikdash V'Nikdashav? It involves two violations. One's a mitzvah lo taseh, but also involves a aseh, which is v'yishalchu min ha-machaneh. They have to be removed from the machaneh, and here's somebody coming in. So here you have an aseh, and it's achar Hafrashah. After you're mafrish the first karban, v'cha mechapro, and it's still mechaper. Gemara says, wait a minute. If they took both of them at the same moment, you're right. If they bought both the Sirei Chatat at the same moment, then you're right, they're afresh simultaneous. And you have a good question. But they bought them, they were mafresh them separately. So there is a gap in time between them. The afresh of the first one and the afresh of the second one. So that's how we create this gap. Because if you thought the afresh was simultaneous, right, then it must be that the difference is there. Zrikat Adam is what the difference is in their time period. That would show you that there is a gap, or that after Hafrashah, it still can cover Tumat Mikdash and Toshav. Now the Gemara says, no. Hafrashah is the cutoff. But Hafrashah, I can tell you that there's a difference in their Hafrashot. They were bought at separate times. They were Makdish, the Seir the Chatat, at separate moments. So the Gemara says, so what do you mean? The only time the Pasuk applies, when do you have to bring two Sirei Chatat, is when you mafrish them separately. Wait, the Pasuk should have said something about this. What? The Pasuk, if the only time it matters, or you have to bring two Sirei Chatat, is when you mafrish them separately. Let the Pasuk tell us about that. Now, Tosos technically says that. Right, you have to mafrish them separately. Tosos says it's not suggesting here that if you mafrish them, that you couldn't bring both of them. But the real question is that in order to make it kasher, you'd have to have some sort of separation in the hafreshah. You'd have to do something to make it separate. If that's the case, which that should be explicit in the pasuk, that's a pretty big or high hurdle to set over here. So Amar Papa Karbanot Zibur Kamart. You're talking about the Karbanot of the Tzibur, shiny Karbanot Zibur, the Lev Beit Din Kamatna Alehen. Lev Beit Din is Matna on them, which means Kedavyudim or Shmuel. Now, whether you goreis this part in the Gemara or not, this subject to Machlok is here between Rashi and Tosfot. Rashi says this should not be in the Girsa over here. Kedavyudim or Shmuel. The Rabbiudim or Shmuel. Karbanot Zibur asakin moshchatan lamashehin. The sakin, the knife, makes them into what they are. The way Rashi reads this Gemara is by Karbanot Zibur, the Beitin is matne alehen. Is matne on them according to Rashi? That is, when you shech them, that determines what they are. That determines what type of korban they are. So therefore, when I have, for instance, tamidim, I have korban tamid that was separated for the tzibur, and I don't need them anymore because I had enough tamidim. I had enough korbanot tamidim. Then I can shech them l'shem keitz mizbeach. I can use them as a lot nedava for the tzibur. How do I do that? I was mafrish the animal already as a korban tamid. That is what leiv beit din is matne alehem. Leiv beit din is matne alehem that the determination of what this korban will be used for is only at the moment it's shechted. Even though you mafrish it earlier, nevertheless, its determination is only done at the moment that I do the shechita. Now, Rashi over here says that we shouldn't be goreis. Amar Yudam Shmuel over here because that's only according to the one who says ein beit din leiv beit din matan ahen. It's according to the other opinion in the Gemara in Shvuot that's really this opinion is for the one who says ein leiv beit matan ahen. So here we're connected with leiv beit min matan ahen. Nevertheless, Rashi explains it this way that the sakin has the ability to move the korban, that it determines what the korban is at that moment in time. Well, if that's the case, then we can explain here by the Sirim, Sirei Chatat HaShvuot. Sirei Chatat HaShvuot are only relevant, only become Sirei Chatat at the moment of Shechita. Only the moment of Shechita is that determination. The Hafrashah is not really relevant. Because the Hafrashah really happens at the moment of Shechita. And since they'll be shechted at a different time, therefore, they will create a kapara that's separated between them. So over here, we can't prove anything from here, because over here, the Shechita and Hafrashah are simultaneous. Because of the way that Korbanot and Tzibur work. Now Tosfos on the other hand says that you can be Goreis Sakin Moshchatan over here. And he says that this is even according to the one who says Leif Beitin Matne Alehen. Nira, Keperish Aruch, the Perish here is like the Aruch, was Elishano. Sakin Moshchatan Lamashein, Perush, Laman Shehein, Im Tmidim, Im Musafim, Sakin Moshchatan Liot Kain. So Rashi already said that they were olot for tamidim, and then the knife takes them over, and you can make them into keitz mizbeach. You can change them into other olot for keitz mizbeach. Tosa says no. The korbanot tzibur are just designated. These are for korbanot tzibur. This animal is for korban tzibur. The moment he shechs it, he determines what it's going to be used for. Is it going to be a tamid? Is it going to be a musaf? Is it going to be this? Is it going to be that? In that, it's a much broader authority in the shechita about what you can make the animal, according to Tosafot. And that's even according to one who says, Leib Beit Matne. That is the That's the Tanai Beitin. The Tanai Beitin is that these animals can be used whatever the tzibur needs. Whatever the tzibur means. It doesn't just mean from Tamid to Ketz Mizbeach. It means if he needs it for the Tamid, if he needs it for the Musaf, if he needs it for whatever he needs it, he can determine at that point in time. That's the Tanai Beitin, that the Shachin is Moshachtan. That's the moment. But again, either according to the explanation of Rashi, according to the complete explanation of Tosafot, the fact is that there is no pre-hafrasha. The hafrasha happens at the moment you do the shechita. So you can't prove anything from the sirei chatat. Sirei chatat, their hafrasha and shechita are simultaneous. If that's the case, you can't tell me kapara before or after. It doesn't matter because the hafrasha and the shechita are not separated in these karbanot. So now the Gemara says, wait a minute. Amala Rav Yosef Brei Rav Shmuel Rav Papa Mi'ilei Rav Shimon Lei Beit Dimatan Alehem. You came up with this answer of Lei Beit Dimatan Alehem. That solves all the problems here. Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold of Leib Bat De Matne Alehen. We're speaking in Rabbi Shimon, and you're trying to give an explanation to Rabbi Shimon, which Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold of. Rabbi Shimon Omer, he's the one that asked the question. So he's the one who questioned, and he's the one who brings the answer about this issue. V'amar Avidi Bar Avin, Amar Rav Amram, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Amar Rav Yochanan, Tmidim Shlo Tzruchu Letzibur. If you have Tmidim that the Tzibur doesn't need at the end of the year, it comes to the end of the year, they're turning over to the new budget, the new Trumat Alishka, the new Lishka cuts in on the 1st of Nisan, and they have extra Tmidim that they didn't use. The Dibi Rabbi Shimon Ein Niftim Tmimim. According to Rabbi Shimon, you cannot be pulled them as Tmimim. As they are, you cannot redeem them. You have to wait for them to get a mum in them, and then redeem them with the, right, could sell them out for that money, and that money goes to Trumat Alishka, or the Motor Trumat Alishka, and then it's used for Kate's Mizbeach. The Chachamim, the Tevei Chachamim, Niftim Tmimim. According to Chachamim, you can be pulled them on the spot. Why? That's Leib Beitin Matan Alehem. The Leib Beitin Matan Alehem is if the Tzibur doesn't need it, then it can go do whatever it wants with it. Even if it was already Mukdash, they bought it for a Korban Tamid, if the Tzibur doesn't need it, that's it. You go to them. You buy them with the money from the new Lishka, and they become Tamidim for the new year. You just flip them over to the new year, no problem. So you can even do them Tamidim. But what do you see from here? The Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold this principle called Leib Beitin Matan Alehem. So va'od ha boy mine Rabbi Yirmiyah b'Rabbi Zeira. So this is the question I told you before. That Rabbi Yirmiyah says that he has a question. Rabbi Yirmiyah asks Rabbi Zeira. Siria tzeret she kibel deman b'shnei kosot. They had the siria tzeret. They had the kibel deman at the same time. They shechted them at the same time, and they were mekabel adam at the same time. V'nizrak demo shrishon sheni lamoi. What do I need the second one for? If I was already zorek the dam of the first one, what do I need the dam of the second one? Baal Tumash Rabben Zrika Lezrika. So he says back to him, no, they come on the Tumah that comes between the two Zrikot Adam. So Adkan lo mi baile ela asei de la achar shchita. Aval asei de la achar hafasha lo ka mi baile. I mean that his question is only between shchita and Zrika. He's asking, listen, after shchita already, they had the shchita together, what's the point? He asked me about Zrikat Adam. Zrikat Adam, is it, why do I need the Zrikat the second one after I have the Zrikat the first one? But that means that the underlying assumption in the question that is presented by Rabbi Yirmiyah is that there's no question that until Shechita, it covers all the assays. His only question is, does Zrikat Adam also cover? Does it do something with Zrikat Adam? So his underlying premise is that Shechita is the cutoff point, now it doesn't matter by Zrikat. But he doesn't care about Hafrasha, he's not even asking about Hafrasha. It's clear to him that after Hafrasha, it still works. It's just after Shechita does it work. Does Zrikat Adam still have impact over here? So you see that it doesn't have a question. So Gemara says, no. Dilma Imtim Salomar Kamar. Now, maybe the whole premise of the question is an Imtim Salomar. If you say, the first question is, does Hafrasha cut off or not Hafrasha cut off? Does that stop the ability to Mechaper? Imtim Salomar, right? If you say that Hafrasha is not the cutoff, but Shechita is the cutoff, then what about Zrikat Adam? Do we go to Zrikat Adam? I mean, so it's a question that is built on other assumptions. Imtim Salomar. If you say that Shechita is the cutoff, then does Zrikat Adam matter? Does it go all the way up until Zrikat Adam, or is Shechita the real cutoff? But it's only an Imtim Salomar. He didn't know for sure that Hafrasha is not the cutoff and Shechita is the cutoff. He just said, if Shechita is the cutoff, this is my question. So that's the way to write it. Now, what do we do? Rabbi Zeira did answer him. Rabbi Zeira gave him an answer. According to Rashi, that Rabbi Zeira of a Dilma lo kaimalon ka Rabbi Zeira lo ishted bayan. Maybe you don't hold like Rabbi Zeira. According to Rashi, Rabbi Zeira's answer was a full-fledged answer to him. No, that you're right. Zrika is the determining factor. And it's Zrika ben Zrika Rishon, Zrika the Sheni. We just don't hold of Rabbi Zeira. So the question of Rabbi Yirmiyah was a question of Imtim Salomar. Rabbi Zeira answered him and says, you're right. It is the cutoff and Zrika is the cutoff. But nevertheless, we don't hold like Rabbi Zeira. Tosafot, on the other hand, learns otherwise and says that even Rabbi Zeira's answer was an Imtim Salomar. That the question of Rabbi Yirmiya is Imtim Salomar. And Rabbi Zeira says, well, Imtim Salomar, I can give you the same answer I would have given you by Hafrasha, by Shechita, and by Zrikat Adam. The answer is the same in each time. The Tumah that happens between them. If there's a violation between them, that's what it covers. So if Hafrasha is the cutoff, then between the two Hafrashot, that's what it does. If Shechita is the cutoff, between the two Shechitot, that's the cutoff. If Zrika is the cutoff, then between the two Zrikot, any Tumah that happened, that's what it takes care of. So Rabbi Zeira's answer is also premised on the Imtim Salomar of Rabbi Yirmiya. And therefore we're not going necessarily rejecting Rabbi Yirmiya over here. We're just saying that the whole question and answer was premised on the Imtim Salomar. So if that's the case, you can't prove anything from this. So if that's the case, it's inconclusive. We are inconclusive here about whether it's the Hafrasha that is the cutoff, or is it the Shechita that is the cutoff. Now, that's according to this piece, but it's still according to Rabbi Shimon, it would seem, that after Hafrasha would work, but you don't have a proof from the question of Rabbi asked Rabbi Zeira, because that we could say as an Imtim Salomar. But because Rabbi Shimon cannot be explained by Lei Beit Din Matne Alehen, therefore Rabbi Shimon must be saying that there is Kapara after Hafrasha, because there's the whole reason for bringing the second Sir Chatat on Shavuot, is to provide Kapara from that which happens between the two Karbanot. And to suggest that the Hafrasha was done separately, and that's what creates the difference in time, that's far-fetched, that's a stretch, that's a dochaku to accept or to give that type of answer. Tosafot said that before, that it's really a dochak to say that there was a separation in the Hafrasha, and therefore according to Rabbi Shimon, the Ola is mechaper, or there is kapara, even after the point of Hafrasha. We'll stop there.